Welcome to the West Harlem Way Race Podcasts. I'm John Kinnaston, and this is episode 14. The episode this week is called a Fling Special. I'm recording this on Sunday, the 22nd of April, 2012. And it's less than a week away now to the Hoka Highland Fling, which starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday, the 28th of April. And so I thought this week it'd be quite good just to dedicate this podcast to the Fling and just to talk a little bit about that. And we've got some interviews to do with the Fling. The Fling is a very special race. This is the seventh year that it's been run. It was started in 2006, and I think there was about 17 people who ran that first race. Basically, it was the idea of Murdo and Ellen, and they wanted to do a long training run in preparation for the West Harlem Way. And instead of Ellen doing it on her own, she thought it would be really good to have some friends running with her, and so they set up a race. In 2007, the first year I did it, there was 70 of us. It had grown quite quickly in that second year. And then from then on, it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And this year, as far as I can see on the entries, there are about 475 that have entered for the individual race. Plus, there's a number of teams in the relay. And of those 470-odd, I reckon there's about 170 have done the race at least once before, which means there's over 300 people that this is the first time they've done the Fling. Now, it could be it's their first ever ultra, or it could be that it's the first time they've ran on the West Harlem Way. And some of those will be doing it because they want to do an ultra on the West Harlem Way. Others because it's a preparation for doing the full race either this year or in next year or in years to come. So if you're one of those 300 that has not done it before and you're listening to this, then I hope there's some good tips in here that will help you as you prepare for the race in a few days' time. That was a special place in my life. This was the first ultra that I ever did when I was preparing for the 2007 West Harlem Way race. And I think up until that point, I always felt I was not quite an ultra runner. I'd done some long training runs, but I felt until I'd actually finished crossed the finishing line in Tyndrum, then I couldn't really call myself an ultra runner. And I can remember having tears in my eyes as I ran up to that finish line, knowing that I'd now finished a 53-mile race. So in this podcast, we've got three main items. The first one is I've interviewed John Duncan. John has taken over the race director this year. And so it was really good to meet with him yesterday and ask him some questions about his own running, but also about organising the Fling. And he shares some tips about things that it'd be good for us to know as runners as well. So that lasts about 18 minutes. And then the next interview is with Caroline Gibson. This is the third one that we've done in our little series of following both her and Colin Knox as they prepare for the West Harlem Way race this year. And Caroline is not able to do the Fling on Saturday because her and Neil are going to a wedding, a friend's wedding in Inverness. And so Caroline ran the Fling last Saturday. So that was quite helpful just to get a feel of what it was like for her. And so again, Caroline just shared some of her thoughts, some of the things that she's learning, some of the things that went well, some of the things that haven't gone quite so well and what she's learned from. So that, and again, that lasts about 18 minutes. And then the final part is a review of the Hoka shoes. Hoka have sponsored the Highland Fling this year, and I was very kindly given a pair of Hokas to try out and to review on my blog. So I thought it'd be good to tack that on at the end. That lasts about 10 minutes or so. And there's just my thoughts on using the Hoka Mahafti shoes. But before we get into our first interview, I just wanted to read out one little article from the Herald from yesterday. You may or may not know, but my wife Katrina is running the Highland Fling next Saturday. This will be the furthest she's ever ran. She did a marathon last year in Loch Ness. But I'd said to her last year, if she ever wanted to do the Fling, that we would do it together, we'd train together, and we'd run it together. And Katrina took up the challenge and is running next Saturday for the, their first ever ultra. And Debs Martin-Contani put us in touch with a journalist from the Herald who wanted to write an article about women and men taking up exercise in their 50s. So Katrina was interviewed, and the article, it's in the 50 Plus magazine, the insert of the Herald from yesterday. And the article's called Life's a Marathon, Not a Sprint for These Two Runners Who Just Can't Stop Pushing the Boundaries, by Joan McFadden. Katrina Kinniston from Paisley always felt on the sidelines when it came to running, as she watched their husband John and various friends competing in some major challenges. But that all changed 3 years ago when she took up the challenge herself, and the 52-year-old hasn't looked back since. Now she is gearing up to tackle the grueling Highland Fling, a 53-mile run between Mulgay and Tynedrum. For years I supported them, helping in practical ways such as doing the timing or even giving them lifts to the starting line, she said. I've watched runners at events like the Highland Fling staggering across the line, and I never thought that it could be me. But then I started running 3 years ago, and on April the 28th I'll be tackling this year's Highland Fling myself. Katrina is one of many people taking up running in their 50s. She and her husband John have four daughters, and although Katrina was always fit, combining the needs of four young children with her job as a teacher meant that she was putting her own fitness last. She said, "It was intentional because I've always walked with the children, and we were out and about a lot. Then 5 years ago, I joined a gym with the aim of having an hour to myself on the way home from work, which I considered my relaxation time. 3 years ago, I wanted to up the amount of exercise I was doing, so I started running on the treadmill and decided to try a 10K in Troon. There's a sense of apprehension about doing it for the first time, worrying if you can run outside rather than the treadmill or if you'll be trailing at the end. But I did it in less than an hour and joined Kilbarkan Running Club and started running with a group at ProLife on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so quickly got the hang of it. John was really encouraging, as were my daughters, who were all aware of the importance of exercise. I've done a number of events since then, getting my 10K time down to 45 minutes and doing my first half marathon when I was 50, which took me 2 hours and 36 seconds. I was determined to get my time under 2 hours and managed it in my next in 1 hour and 44 minutes. I then did the Loch Ness Marathon in 3 hours 50 minutes, and now I'm training for my first ultra marathon. Katrina's accomplishments are impressive, but she's not alone. Rajiv Singh from Anisland is 64 and also started running 7 years ago when he needed to get fit for an operation. I joined Garscoop Harriers and I enjoyed it straight away, but it was hard to begin with, said Ragveer, who is a semi-retired interpreter. I think you need to have an aim and work towards something to inspire you, and at the moment I'm training for the London Marathon. I did 2 half marathons before training for marathons, and I think having a goal works for me. At present, I run about 45 miles a week, but even when I don't have a marathon ahead of me, I run 35 to 40 miles a week. The impact of my health has been so noticeable, it's given me a new lease of life. Age seems to be no barrier to taking up exercise, although it does make sense to have to check general health and fitness with a doctor before taking up a new regime. Sports physiologist Dr. John Mathers, Director of Learning and Teaching at the University of Stirling School of Sport, said, "What's really important is picking a realistic challenge. You could have 2 people of the same age, but with completely different capabilities and life experience, so each of them have a different Everest to aim for. Age is just a number, and I would advise everyone to take the same precautions in starting a new sport, warming up properly and building up gradually. Developing good activity habits changes the way you live your life, and many people in their 50s are thinking seriously about enjoying a lively retirement and getting fit for that. The body is an amazing machine, and any time is a fabulous time to take up exercise." Also on the article was Katrina's top tips. It can sometimes be hard to keep motivated on your own, but if you run with a group of friends, you'll feel the benefits. Not only will it keep you going, but you'll also gravitate towards those of similar ability. It's also incredibly important to get fitted for proper running shoes and being measured for a proper sports bra is essential. When starting off, build up slowly and alternate between walking and running and get yourself an achievable goal. And remember, you'll be joining a growing number of over 50s who are jogging in Scotland. A spokesman for Jog Scotland said, "We have more than 520 listed active members who are over the age of 50, but the total is actually larger than that. When we first started 10 years ago, we didn't look for a date of birth. It's always great to know people are active, and a healthier Scotland is one of our goals. Of course, there's medical advice which has to be followed. Our dedicated jog leaders are trained, and that's why we would always encourage people to start off in a group." If you'd like more information, log on to www.jogscotland.org.uk. So, well done, Katrina, and I'm certainly looking forward to running with you in the Highland Fling next Saturday. So there we have it. The next interview you'll hear after the music is my interview with John Duncan, then Caroline, and then the review of the Hokas. Right, it's great to have John Duncan with us. John has taken over the director of the Highland Fling, which is next weekend. We're doing this recording on Saturday afternoon. It's about 5:20. And I'm hoping at this point next week, then myself and Katrina won't be too far away from the finish, or even finish, you never know. But it's great to have John with us. I'm just going to ask John a few questions about his own running, but also about his involvement in the Fling. So first of all, John, can you tell us a little bit about your own running background and what got you into ultra races in the first place?
Hello, everyone. I have run on and off all my life and hadn't run for a long time. And it was maybe 2006 and I read the Ultra Marathon Man book in January on holiday. And I went, that sounds good. So I gave myself a challenge to, by the end of that year, run an ultra. And I trained up over the year, and then in December I ran the Rotherham 50, and I've never looked back since then.
Good. So that was your first one, and then how many other ultras have you done? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about your favourite one so far.
Well, after that, I entered the Fling, I think that was 2007, but I got injured, but Murdo asked me to help out, and that was my first involvement in the Fling. And then the next year, I didn't run any ultras, just enjoyed my running, and then got back into running ultras and did the D33 in 2000 and... Sorry, that was this year. It was the Glen Ogle last year. No. That was the next one I did. So I haven't done many races at all.
Okay. Right. So have you actually run the Fling?
Yes, I ran it. I ran it in 2009.
Yeah.
And absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. What sort of time did you do for that one, can you remember?
I just beat 11 hours, so it was 10:58, right. Something
good.
Like that.
Good. And how did that go?
I just loved it. I loved the whole race. It was warm, great people, amazing scenery.
Yeah.
I hadn't really ran on the West Highland Way before that,
right.
And it was just terrific.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. And then what are your plans for this year? I know we'll talk about the Fling in a minute, about organising. That's obviously you're not running that one. But what plans have you got for yourself for running ultras this year?
Okay, well, I've already done the D33, which was a great weekend up in Aberdeen and Stonehaven. Really enjoyed that. But last year I had a moment of weakness and I entered the West Highland Way.
Right.
So I'm hoping to do that for the first time this year.
Yeah, great.
And after that, if I'm still alive, I'm planning to do the River Ayr Way,
right.
Which is where I grew up, and I used to play right around the River Ayr, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And you're doing the catering as well?
Yes, that'll be my West Highland Way training run,
right.
Because I'm not doing the Fling.
Yeah. So as you think of this year, you've done the D33, you're building towards the catering and the West Highland Way. Generally, how is your training going? Do you feel as though you're on target? You're quite happy with your mileage and where you feel your fitness is at?
My running is always quite sporadic. I generally just run when I feel like running. But this year was going really well with the D33, and I did three 30 milers March, April. But after the last one, I've been diagnosed with a hernia. So I've been taking it easy and haven't run apart from this afternoon for 3 weeks.
Right.
So not great,
yeah,
but I'm still enjoying my running. So
yeah. And then from here to the West Harlem Way, have you got any long runs planned besides the catering?
The catering is my, the test for my hernia to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Walking's great, right. So I might be doing a little bit more walking than running.
Yeah.
At the catering and the West Highland Way.
Yeah. And at this point, have you got a target time that you've got for the West Highland Way, or do you want to keep that to yourself?
Well, everyone's always got target times.
Yeah.
But it would have been maybe 24 hours.
Yeah.
That would have been my first target time.
Yeah.
But after finishing. But my hernia gives me a bit of an excuse for being slower, so that's quite good as well.
Yeah. I would say certainly based on a sub-11 fling, then I would say, you know, 23, 24 hours is definitely achievable. But as you say, it depends on how your hernia is. We hope it's good and we hope you get through it. So it'll be interesting to follow your progress in the West Harlem Way. Can you tell us a little bit about the fling then? So how did you get involved in organising it? You said that you met Murdo and you were involved when you couldn't run the first year. So what gave you this crazy idea of actually taking over organising it?
Well, I blame Murdo McDonald for everything. He sweet talked me into helping out as a marshal in 2008. I was at the Inverness Aid. Then 2009 I run it. 2010 I had an injury from snowboarding, so I helped out again.
Right.
And then 2011, he phoned me up again, and I says I'd love to help out, if not more. So he says, "Oh, okay, that's great." So I helped out for 3 full days last year.
Right.
And I've always enjoyed organising things, holidays, trips away, camping trips, and I was thinking about organising an ultra run somewhere in Scotland. So I thought about it for a few months. I was going to phone Murdo to see if there was any room in the sums for another race.
Oh, right.
But at the same time, he'd been thinking, he wasn't planning to do it this year, and he'd been thinking about me taking over the fling. Oh, so when I phoned him, he says, "Oh, I've got a race for you. It's not a new one, the fling." So that was, I felt quite privileged to be.
Yeah.
To be offered to take over.
Okay.
Mother.
So at first you were maybe hoping to organise a low-key, small race of a 50 or 100, and then suddenly you find you've got over 450 running next weekend. It might be really, I'd find it really helpful actually, because I've been involved in the fling. This will be my 6th year of doing the race. And I absolutely love it. It was the first ultra I ever did. So it means a lot to me as well, as not just as a preparation for the West Highland Way, but in its own right. And I'd be fascinated to get a little bit of a feel of what goes into organising a race like this. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what you've had to do in the last few weeks and what still needs to be done maybe in this week before the race starts next Saturday morning.
A lot. A lot more than I thought was involved. Murdo, Ellen and Tim have been great when I've got problems helping out. But it's all the small things that just take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
The big things are like the marshalling, that takes up a lot of time, but you know it's going to take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
But the small things like you have to get order your medals in time for them to be shipped to Britain, and this year we took a new sponsor as well. So that was the first job, which actually turned out quite easy.
Right.
Which was surprising in the current financial climate.
Yeah.
Other small jobs is just making sure everything's at the checkpoints, timing, all sorts of small things. Plus, the one thing I do enjoy is the emails from runners,
right,
especially first-timers,
yeah,
which you said there's 300 first-time runners.
Yeah, I reckon there's about 300, yeah.
I love that, but it takes up a lot of time, maybe 2-3 hours a day sometimes over the last week.
Wow.
So, but I have really enjoyed it. I've had moments where I've been a bit daunted and a bit, oh no.
Yeah.
But it's been good fun
and
you get to meet a lot of good people.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you're doing this on top of a full-time job, are you?
I I was hoping to, but luckily I'm self-employed, so I've shut my business down for a full month.
Oh, wow.
To spend on full-time flings.
Right. Okay.
So,
yeah.
But that's maybe still 18, 20 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's good. It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I think again, as runners, I think we really really appreciate it. We recognise that we couldn't run without people like yourself and an army of volunteers who are going to be there on the day, making sure this happens. So, can you maybe tell us a little bit about what you hope for? Obviously, as a runner, we've got our aims for the race, whether it's just to finish or to do a PB or to achieve a certain time. But as the race director, what sort of hopes have you got for the race?
The main hope is that it's not a disaster for everyone. Everyone I've spoken to over the last 8 months since I took over the race, been race director, all say, we love the fling. So I've tried not to change anything, just the same as if something's not broken, then you don't need to fix it.
Yeah.
So I just hope that everyone has a good time, including me.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I will, but it'll be fun. It'll be exciting.
Yeah.
But my hair's getting greyer.
Yeah. Well, again, as from a runner's point of view, I think I would like to encourage all the runners to make sure we say thank you to you and your team. I think sometimes we can take people for granted, but just little things like when we go through the checkpoints, just to say thank you to those people who may be standing there for several hours. And it makes all the difference, doesn't it? Because if the marshals are having a good time and you're enjoying it, then that's going to be passed over to the runners as well. Have you got any comments or tips that you'd like to pass on to the runners? I know you sent out this week your very good notes, the briefing, I've got it there on my desk, the 2012 briefing, and it's really clear about what needs to be done. But is there anything that you'd like to use this podcast, maybe just to emphasise to runners and particularly to support teams, and how we can make sure the race can continue?
The first thing is to have fun. This isn't a job for everyone. It's a hobby we choose to do.
Yeah.
The second thing is consideration for others. We're sharing the West Highland Way with walkers and also the road users, so support teams park considerately, not blocking traffic, that sort of thing. We want it to be run smoothly, because if there's problems, then it could jeopardise it in the future.
Great. I think one of the things that is often said as well is about litter, isn't it? Let's make sure as runners that we don't discard anything. It's absolutely no excuse not to, if you open a gel packet or something or other, to take it with you to the next checkpoint and they can drop it off there, can't they? I'm always aware as well, we were talking about this earlier, about walkers on the route. I remember one year I was saying to John that I was just going between Inversnaid and Benglass on the single track, and there was a group of walkers coming the other way, and I was near the front of the group, so I'd started at 6 o'clock with the over 50s and the women, and a group of walkers went past me and were muttering a bit about these runners think they own the path, and then I thought there's another 400 to come behind. And I think we do need to be considerate to walkers, because it's their route as well, isn't it? And it's enough space for everybody. But I would certainly emphasise that consideration, both to those who walk in and at different checkpoints, because we want this race to continue, don't we? And to keep it going. Well, once again, thank you so much, John, for being willing to take this on. Have you committed yourself to further years, or are you going to see how this year goes?
I'd love to do it for further years.
Yeah.
This year's been a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
But I have really enjoyed it most of the time.
Yeah.
And I hope, I hope as long as I'm not sacked by everyone and it's not a disaster, then I would like to carry on.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. And then just to finish with, in these podcasts, I've been asking people some quickfire questions. Some of them take longer to answer than others. But I think one of the interesting things about these is that there are personal preferences, and I think that's one of the great things about running in trail races. People have different views. I know your experience of maybe doing a couple of races, but talking to others as well, and it may be that if we ask these same questions in 5 years' time, you might answer differently.
Yeah.
So But I think for those who, like you, maybe doing the West Highland Way race for the first time or doing the Fling for the first time, it might be helpful just to get what you do and what your preferences are at this point. So, shoes. Do you do road shoes or trail?
For the last 8 months, I've been wearing Hoka trail shoes, right, which are very comfortable.
And given the fact that the Highland Fling is sponsored by Hoka, we wouldn't expect anything less. What about food? Have you got some favourite food to keep you going when your energies get low?
I've always enjoyed Snickers, but I also like sandwiches. Right. So maybe I went through a phase of egg mayonnaise sandwiches, but from Karen's told me a little bit about hummus and cheese, so I'm going to try that.
Right, okay. Good. Would you carry a hydration pack or a water bottle?
This year I've been experimenting with water bottles. I've always used hydration packs in the past. But after the West Highland Way Inspiration evening about drinking too much water, right, I'm a bit wary of that. So right, bottles, you can sense how much you're drinking rather than a big hydration pack.
Yeah. Okay. Salt tablets, would you tend to take those or not?
Yes, I use salt tablets, yes.
Would you drink mainly water or energy drink?
I try them with one of each. Right. So I've been experimenting with, I heard from Marco and other podcast, so the 41, four carbohydrates to one protein drink, which I quite enjoy.
Yeah. Good. Do you run with a watch, a Garmin, or do you tend to like to run with no watch?
I run with a watch. Right. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Your support group for the West Highland Way, are you thinking about having one team or two teams?
It's my first year, and speaking to others, I'm going to use two teams, half family, half running friends.
Yeah. So. Good. And they know about that, do they?
Some of them do.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite section of the race, the West Highland Way route?
I think everyone likes Loch Lomond side. Mm. It's just, we did a training run three weekends ago, and we ran the Fling over 2 days.
Oh, right.
And I'd really forgotten how pretty Scotland is in spring, after winter, huddling with hoods up. But there's one part that I've heard is really good, is from Bridge of Orkney to Glencoe Ski Centre. Mm. Overrun up Moor, so I'm actually not running that. I'm keeping that for special.
Right. Have you not done that bit yet?
No, I've never done that bit. So I'm keeping. I've run all the other parts, but I'm keeping that as a surprise for me for the race itself.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Good. When you're running, maybe at a training only race, would you listen to music, podcasts, talking books, or do you not bother having anything like that?
When I'm running somewhere and the scenery's good, nothing. Mm. But if I'm maybe on a cycle track and it's a bit boring, I like really cheesy music.
Right. Yeah. Cheesy music, okay. Have you got a favourite mantra? Anything that when things are going tough, that you think, you just keep repeating to keep you going?
The one I use a lot is, we're lucky. We're lucky to be able to run.
Yeah.
It's hard work, but we choose to do it. So I just remind myself how lucky I am that we can run.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you. What do you look forward to most once you've finished a race?
Probably chips.
Right.
But in warm weather, maybe a lager tops. In cold weather, sometimes red wine.
Right.
But chips.
Good. So to hear that support crew, make sure he's got some chips ready for him at the end of the West Highland Way. And finally, if you had one tip to give to another runner, what would it be?
Just enjoy it. Mm. It's not a job, we choose to do it. Mm. That's always been my thoughts. Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, John. And I, like all the others who are taking part in the Fling next week, really looking forward to it. I hope it's a day like today. We had some hail earlier, so I'm not sure that'd be great. But it'd be nice if it's a nice cool day, wouldn't it? So it's I know the last 2 years it's been pretty hot, and it's been more difficult. But if it is, you just have to get on with it and finish. But we look forward to seeing you next Saturday, and we hope this week goes really smoothly, that you have no big disasters and everything comes together. And once again, thank you so much for taking this on. And maybe at the end, I'll try and catch maybe for 5 minutes at the end of the fling, and we could just record a little bit about your thoughts of how the day's gone, and we can put that into next week's podcast. Okay, so thank you very much.
No, thank you.
There you go. That wasn't too bad, was it?
Yeah.
Right, here we are again, looking at, this is our third interview with Caroline in our preparation for the West Harland Way race this year. And the last one we did was 6 weeks ago, so we're just going to catch up and see what Caroline's been doing over the last 6 weeks, and then thinking about what she's going to do over the next 9 weeks. Do you realise the race is 9 weeks away today?
I certainly do.
62 days. So anyway, tell us a little bit, Caroline, about what you've been doing over the last 6 weeks and how your training's gone.
Okay. After that unplanned easy week that I last talked about, when Thomas and Andy Cole and a couple of others had suggested taking an easy week, I did have a much better week. I actually had a good session at the running club, the best one I'd had in a long time, and did a total of 60 miles that week, which included on the Saturday the full Devil of the Highlands route. That didn't exactly go to plan. I'd been given some tablets from the consultant in the hospital about my throat thing, which had rather severe side effects that left me being sick and various things across the whole route. Didn't do exactly what I wanted, but at least I got it done. Had a really, really easy week the week after that. And then a medium one and a good one. And what happened there was I was on holiday from school and ended up doing just about 60 miles in 6 days. So I was really, really pleased with that. And it did include sort of a few sort of medium runs on the trail and things that went well. Then I had a taper week and did the fling myself at the end of that week, and then this week really there's not been very much running apart from today because of sort of work and assignment writing to do.
Okay, so sounds like you've put plenty of miles in and plenty of effort there. We'll come back to the fling in a minute, but as you look back on that 6 weeks, what do you think went well and what were you happy with in that period?
Yeah, the first week I was off school, I really did get some good runs in there, and on tired legs as well. So I think it was this Sunday, just as the holiday started, that we'd gone up to the Catherine Trail and did sort of 22 on that. Can't say I particularly enjoyed that day, but then on the Tuesday, went off and did another 13 on the West Highland Way, the Ben Glass to Tindrum, with my sister-in-law and my brother running the opposite way as well. And although the weather by then was snow and headwind the whole way and meeting cows and things, it was just a really, really good run, even though I had sore legs. We were both running really strongly. It was by far the fastest I've ever done that section. And it was just head down and got on with it and really good. I had the Friday after the Devils, ended up doing six separate sport relief miles at school, going out with all the different classes, and even though my legs were still a bit tired from the Devils, it was quite a good wee speed session as the kids weren't allowed to go ahead of me until near the end, so we knew they'd done the full mile. And I kind of enjoyed the Devils. I enjoyed it until I started to feel really rotten, and it was nice to get up onto that sort of higher up part of the West Highland Way again and do some of those bits on fresher legs that I hadn't done for a while.
I think it's always good with these things to see what you can learn. I was going to say what didn't go so well, but I thought it'd be better to phrase it that way. So as you look back on that 6 weeks, what big lessons have you learned, do you think, as you prepare for the West Highland Way?
I still need to work on all the lessons that I said I was learning about from the last one. The last time I said that I needed to work on nutrition and not obsessing over times and splits and things, and that you can go over bad patches, and I just haven't really learned any of those things. And the further two runs that I've done, I've learned that I still need to work on hills, although I know my downhills are good. And I've learned that it's quite hard going by yourself when you're feeling rotten over Larrigmuir. I know that I won't be by myself in the full race when I do it, but I was when I was doing the Devils until John Kennedy and David and Craig caught me up. And that was great to meet them, and they kept me going, and I stayed with them till nearly Fort William. So that made a big difference that day. And I think I could do some more back-to-backs, because just the ones I did in the Easter holidays, it was quite encouraging how I was able to get my legs going there. So I'd like to work a bit more on that as well.
Great. This podcast, we're calling this our Fling Special. So we've had an interview with John Duncan. And you've got the advantage over the rest of us in the sense that you did the Fling last Saturday. When people listen to this, hopefully it'll be a few days before the Fling, and they'll be getting ready. So if you can just tell us a little bit about how your Fling went. I know you had to do it because you've got a wedding this Saturday, haven't you? So you had to do it on your own. So how did it go?
I know that one of the lessons I said I hadn't learned from the last podcast was about not obsessing over splits and times and stuff. And I did have a time that I was aiming for when I ran the Fling, and I know a lot of people say you should really, you know, you might only want to run the Fling as a training run, but I did feel that doing it 2 weeks earlier than everybody else, I was having extra recovery time before the full West Highland Way race. And because it can be quite a good indicator of what time and what you should maybe go for in the full race, I did want to have a proper go at it. I'm still furious with myself over how it went. I haven't come to terms with it at all yet, and just haven't even been able to bear to write up my blog about it. I was hoping that I would get under 12 hours. I don't think I'm delusional to think that I could have maybe got that, or at least kind of 12 and a half. But I did start too fast, and my nutrition was just shocking, really. I had Debbie Martin-Kinsani running with me to Rowardennan, and she was trying to tell me to slow down, and I thought I was, but it just was obviously just slightly too fast. I had planned for 2:05 to Drummond, which she was quite surprised at. We did it in 2:08, and then I'd planned for 1:35 to Balmaha, making sort of 3:40 altogether to there, and I was only about 5 or 6 minutes past that. But once we left there, I did start to feel tired, although I was bang on to Rowardennan, but had a couple of major needing sugar moments during that part. Took a couple of minutes at Rowardennan just because that's where Dave's was stopping, and I was swapping over to my backpack and stuff for the longer neck section by myself, and did have a bit of a crash after that, I think, because I was by myself and I knew there was lots of walking coming up with the hills and things out of there. Picked it up again before Inversnaid and was trotting along, quite enjoying myself. Neil ran out to meet me, must have met me about 4 miles before Ben Glass. Starting to get a bit tired again by then, starting to moan a wee bit, but it was nothing compared to what happened after I left Ben Glass, which I think I just hadn't had enough food. I was trying to think afterwards what I'd had to eat. I think I'd had about half a Marmite sandwich, loads of grapes, some jelly beans, and one wee yogurt thing. I think that was all I had, maybe the entire time. Even by the end, I couldn't even swallow the grapes as they were anymore. I just had to suck the juice out and then spit the peel away. I was basically a whinging, whining mess from Ben Glass onwards. I wanted to stop. I didn't care that I didn't make it to Tindrum. And really, if Neil hadn't been there, I'm sure I probably would have stopped. The only other things that were keeping me going was Thomas and Silke were waiting in Tindrum for me to see me finish, and John phoning while I was coming through the forest. That kind of made me remember that I couldn't give up either. But I just still haven't quite got over the fact that it wasn't, didn't go how I'd planned.
Well, I think you did really well to finish it, because it's, again, one of those tough runs, but you made it to the end, and you did finish fairly strong, didn't you? So that's always good as well. So again, as you look back on that fling run, what big lessons did you learn or to help you in your preparation for the full race?
Well, I'm still trying to learn the lessons from the other long runs. I really, really need to work on my food. I've written down a couple of other things that I could try. I thought I might try cheese sandwiches and watermelon, because I do love that, and that would get sort of fluid in me as well. And something else that I've forgotten just now, but it'll come back to me. I clearly still have to remember that I might get through bad patches, because the bad patch from Benglass lasted for 10 miles, but I did then run pretty much it all from Ochtertier to Tindrum, so I was starting to get back over it, although that could have only been because I knew I was finishing. And this being so concerned with what time and things that I get, but I don't know if I can really change that, because that's just part of who I am. I did also realise as I was coming towards Benglass that I really, really wanted an orange ice lolly, so I'll be putting that in an order for at Tindrum, I think, in the full race.
Great. Well, I think it's helpful for you, hopefully, doing this as well, writing down some of these lessons, because it's easy to forget, isn't it?
Yeah.
So over the next few weeks, what are your plans then between maybe now and the next 4 to 5 weeks?
Although this week's supposed to have been an easy week anyway, it's really been an extremely easy week. And next week's going to just have to be as well. I have a big assignment due in the next few days that's just going to have to take up all of my time and get that out of the way, but at least then it'll be out of the way well before the race. As John said, we have a wedding in Inverness next weekend, so on the way back down next Sunday, thought stop off somewhere, maybe Altnafee or something, and I'll run back and do about 20 miles back down the route, and Neil can drive for me. And just then another sort of 20-ish something the week after that. And then the week after that I'm doing a back-to-back. I was planning on doing Balmaha to Bridge of Orkney on the Saturday and Bridge of Orkney to Fort William on the Sunday. And Neil was supposed to be driving for me and making it all nice and easy, and we would stay in Tindrum on Saturday night, and now he's offered to swap shifts with somebody, and it's now turning into a complete logistical nightmare, but we'll get it sorted. If anyone wants to come and join me for some of that, they'd be more than welcome. So that's the main thing, and then I'm just not quite sure what I'm going to do after that. That's where my kind of programme stopped, because we thought we'd just wait and see what happened after that, and how many long ones I did from then on.
As well as the training for the West Highland Way race, I think one of the other key things is making sure the other sides of things are ready. So in your preparation, how's that going, say, with your support team and your gear? Have you got in mind exactly what you're going to be wearing and using, and your food as well?
Okay, my support team might be turning into a bit of a logistical nightmare as well now. Neil is now supposed to be away down on a course in Plymouth or something, which he would have to leave on the Sunday of the race. So we're not quite sure what's happening about that. He is adamant that if he is there, he is doing the whole thing, because I backed up the whole thing for him twice. But I do think that's hard going, because I'm certainly going to be out considerably longer than he was. So we're not quite sure. Well, no, he will just be there if he's going to be there, because I know he will. I've got Chris McLennan, who had offered to help last year as well. He'll probably come up on the Saturday during the day and do that with Neil, so at least he can not drive and things. And I think I've got my sister-in-law and my brother coming up to do a bit of the running or potentially walking with me by then. But it's just not quite as set in stone as I would like it to be yet, because of not knowing what Neil's going to do just yet. In terms of gear, I tend to just stick with the same stuff. I will have trail shoes on, Asics Tribucos that I wear. I have got Innovates, but I haven't worn them very much yet, but I'll take them with me and I might change into them. And I will have road shoes, but I never really tend to wear road shoes on the West Highland Way, but I'll have them in case I might want to later on. Last year I changed my socks at River Denning, I think, because it was quite wet last year, but as somebody else mentioned on the podcast, it might have been Mike Raffin, there was no point in changing them because then they were just wet again a few miles later, and it was a big waste of time trying to get wet shoes off anyway, so I don't think I would bother with that, and I just tend to keep the same tops on and stuff, but did have loads and loads of changes of stuff with me. Full waterproofs, I mean, I had to use full waterproofs in the Catherine last year, so I think that's really important to make sure you've got just plenty of stuff with you. Food, obviously, I'm still trying that, and I've now remembered the other thing that I'll be trying again. It was Coke. I don't drink fizzy drinks. I don't like Coke. The only fizzy thing I drink occasionally is sparkling water, and yet Neil offered me Coke last Saturday, and it certainly did the trick. I think that's what got me running again after Dr. Tear. I certainly don't usually drink anything fizzy while running, because I think that affected my throat, but that wasn't too bad last week, and that was with no tablets or anything, so I'll certainly be having some Coke there to try. But one other thing, I've certainly made no secret of the fact I would like to be lighter in things to make running easier. It's certainly all my PBs come from when I was a bit lighter than I am now, and I went to see Natalie Jones, the nutritionist at Achilles Heel last Sunday. So that was really helpful in terms of what I should be eating before the race and things. And she was saying about Coke and Lucozade and things like that being helpful in the short term, but really trying to get carbohydrates like bread and pasta and other things like that down you as well, so that they'll last longer. The Coke and sugar's only going to last at a really short time. You want the sort of slow-release carbohydrates as well.
Great. Well, sounds as though you're doing a lot of thinking about this and getting lots of things in place. As I said, this is a fling special. So the last question is, what advice would you give, or what would you like to say to people who are doing the fling for the first time? I think there's over 300 who are doing the fling for the first time this year, and I assume a good number of them are also planning to do the West Highland Way. So from your experience of last weekend, what sort of things would you pass on to someone who is in your situation of doing the fling as a preparation for the West Highland Way?
Eat. That would be the first thing. Don't do what I did. And eat from early on. I'm really good at giving advice, just not so good at actually following it. Eat from early on and just keep going as long as you can doing that. Don't start too fast, to at least Drimmen, if not Balmaha, and don't bother trying to rush down the slippy side of Connick Hill. And something I'm quite bad for is getting a bit lazy when I leave River Denning, because I know there's all those hills to come, but there's actually quite a lot of flat first, so I would get running on the flat out of River Denning and take the food with you, because there'll soon be plenty of hills that you can stop and eat on then, and just try and enjoy it. It is a lovely day out, and your legs will get sore, and you just have to try and get through that and remember it is just a bad patch, and good luck.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Caroline, and we hope the next few weeks goes well, and hopefully we'll do one more before the full race. Hoka Mahafti Lo review by John Kinniston. Over the past year, I've been really interested to read about the new Hoka range of running shoes, a new design of running shoe with ultra runners in mind. These shoes are designed to come into their own after 30 miles or so of running. A number of friends have bought and are using them to mixed reactions. I've read some reviews on various websites, and again, some love them and others hate them. They look so different to anything else on the market with the large cushion. For a number of runners who are going the other way, i.e. minimal support, the Hokas seem a throwback. So I was keen to try them for myself. It's easy to knock or criticise something new without trying it. So when I was sent a pair of the trail shoes, Mahafti Low, to review, I was keen to be open-minded and see what I thought and whether they could help me. For those who don't know me, I'm 53 years old and have run most of my life. I stumbled across this great sport of ultra running in October 2006 and have now run 17 ultras, with my highlights being my 5 West Highland Way races, 95-mile race from Mulgay to Fort William in Scotland. I have run most of my ultras in Innovate 8 Rocklights, but while they are great on the majority of the West Highland Way route, I've always found that they don't really give much support on the tarmac and harder paths that we run on. My criteria for running shoes. In general, I realise that there is no real substitute or shortcut for basic talent, lots of hard training and effort in achieving results in ultra running. Sadly, there is no shoe or food type or training method that is going to turn me into a top level ultra runner. But I think we are all looking for that 5 to 10% that might increase our performance. Over a race that lasts 20 plus hours, that could make a significant difference. Personally, most of the injuries I've suffered over the past few years have been related to my feet. I have a bunion on my right foot which causes pressure on my second toe. I have orthotics to help with the problem. I try and run as much as possible off-road on my long runs, but as previously mentioned, a lot of the West Highland Way and other routes, for example the Lakeland 100 that I'm doing this year, do have significant portions of tarmac and harder ground. I have started looking at other types of shoe to help, and so the Hoka came at a time when I was ready to try something new or different. I went for a size 10 rather than my normal size 9, as all the reviews I read said that you needed a bigger size. It was a wise choice, as it gave more room for my toes and my preferred combination of a thin pair of cotton socks and thicker outer pair. Summary of my runs in the Hokas. Sunday the 3rd of March 2012, Buttermere to Delmain, 32 miles. Sunday 25th of March 2012, Drimmen to Tyndrum, 42 miles. And Sunday the 1st of April 2012, Dalmain to Ambleside, 30 miles. First run. The shoes arrived on the Friday before my first recce run on the Lakeland 100 course, and initially I thought it would be silly to wear them for a 32-mile run, having never worn them before. In the end, I decided to try them because firstly, they felt so comfortable straight away, and secondly, and more importantly, I had the option of changing them after 8 miles if I needed to. In the end, I wore them for the full 32 miles and didn't regret it at all. I was a little concerned that I would have to change my running style due to the larger sole, and that this may cause some injuries or soreness as I'd be using muscles in a different way. Also, I've been trying to move away from a heel strike to a midsole strike. Some of the Hoka material was explaining how the shoes were designed for a heel strike and how your foot would roll from heel to toe. So I was a little concerned that it would force me to run that way. I can say though that after the first mile or so, I wasn't really conscious that I was running any differently. The Hokas felt very comfortable and I was still landing on my midsole as before. Over the course of the next 32 miles, we ran on a whole variety of terrain, including rocky path, woodland paths, grass, tarmac, technical single track with lots of up and down. The Hokas coped really well with it all. We started in the snow, and I did slip a bit on the track, but it was fresh snow, which needed some type of crampon to really grip. After this first run, my first impression of the Hokas that they were very comfortable to run in, but two things stood out. Firstly, for me, they were so good on the downhill running on rocky ground. In other shoes, I would have been very cautious running downhill, making sure I avoided any sharp stones and being very careful. I found running downhill in the Hokas gave me a new freedom and boldness, as they were so comfortable. I couldn't feel the stones beneath my feet and so was able to run quicker with more confidence. Secondly, running on tarmac was so much better. Off-road shoes are not designed for tarmac, and so having to run on any hard surface is tough on the feet and legs as you feel the impact. Running on tarmac with the Hokas was so much better and easier. I literally felt I was bouncing along and didn't have the same impact through my legs. When I finished my run, my feet felt good. Often my bunion throbs after many hours running, but it felt a lot easier after this run, my second run. Having enjoyed wearing them in the legs on a new route, I was interested to see how they would feel on a very familiar route. I've run many, many times on the West Harlem Way and know how my feet feel on various sections. Once again, the Hokas dealt with the various terrain really well. I'm always cautious coming off Connick Hill, as it can be a real quad buster. The Hokas gave me plenty of support and grip on that steep section descent. At first sight, it looks that they have the potential to be real ankle turners with the large sole, but in practice I didn't feel that a problem. I think the wide fitting of the shoe gives a good surface area to land on. The other section I wanted to see how they handled was Inversnaid to Benglass. It is a very technical section with lots of scrambling over rocks and tree roots. Again, a section where it's easy to go over on your ankle. I was pleased to see that I felt comfortable in the Hokas. When I first saw them, I assumed that they would be a lot heavier than they are. On a section like this, where you have to lift your feet that much higher, any extra weight will be detrimental. The Hokas don't weigh any more than my normal off-road shoes, and I wasn't conscious of having to lift up a lot of weight. A lot of the last 12 miles or so of this route is on hard, rocky ground, which can be jarring on the legs, especially when you've been running for over 8 hours. The extra support and cushioning definitely help keep my legs feeling fresh right to the end. Looking back on the second run, I really felt that the Hokas are ideal on the mixed terrain of the West Harlem Way. Third run. I was back on the Lakeland 100 route for my third run in the Hokas. This time we were running from Dalmain to Ambleside, which involves a lot more ascent and descent than our first recce run. We had a long 40 minutes or so climb out of Howtown, and then another long climb out of Mardale Head. As each checkpoint tends to be in the valley, there is also a lot of descending. I tend to do better on the ascent and struggle on the long descents. So I was very interested to put the Hokas through their paces and see if they could help me on the long downhills. I didn't feel much difference on the uphills wearing the Hokas compared to other off-road shoes, but the real benefit is on the downhills. The first long downhill was on a fairly good track and the second one on very rocky ground. I felt so much more comfortable in the Hokas and felt I was running a lot easier and hopefully faster. In summary, having run 125 miles or so in the Hoka Mahafdi Low, I'm a convert. I really enjoy the comfort and cushioning they give me on long runs on a mixture of terrain. For me, the two main benefits are on the downhill running on rocky ground and sections of tarmac or hard ground. The other factor is how my legs feel post long run. In previous years, my legs would be sore for a few days, but after these three runs in Hokas, I feel I've recovered quicker with far less soreness. This may be due to several factors, i.e. the pace I'm running at, my overall fitness, etc., but I do think that the Hokas have made a significant difference. This year, 2012, I have two main targets. The first is the 53-mile Highland Fling from Mulgai to Tyndrum that I'm running with my wife. It will be her first ultramarathon. My second and main target of the year is the Lakeland 100 race, which is 103 miles and 22,500 feet of ascent, circular route starting and finishing in Coniston. I will be wearing the Hoka Mahafdi Low for both races. I'm planning to get a second pair so I can change halfway in the Lakeland 100 race if I need to. Last year, my shoe of choice split a few days before the West Harlem Way race, and I had to run in a new pair, which wasn't ideal. I realise that the Hoka shoes aren't for everyone, but I do think they are well worth trying and seeing whether they work for you. Don't worry what they look like or comments people make. When you are 85 miles into an ultra with another 10, 15 to go, what others think is irrelevant. It's whether your feet are still comfortable and you're still able to run. Thanks to Hoka for sending me a pair to review. See me flying. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this Fling special. And as I say, if you are doing the race for the first time next Saturday, I hope you have a great race. I hope to see you on the route. And with the staggered start, there will be lots of people going past. And so lots of encouragement for those that are leading and for those that get past. And let's have a really good day. And all the best to John, particularly, and his team for organising the race for us. So hopefully see lots of you next Saturday. And I hope your running is going well. And remember, slow and steady wins the race.